Never underestimate who you are as a member of the body of this church. Okay? Teo is a layman. And without Teo, we couldn't continue the pastor of that church. I'm still his pastor. And I pastor through him. And he's a layman. And very, very active. Teo could have a very high-paying job working with rockets. He's a pilot, or could have kept his pilot's license. And he was born and raised in the village where we used to meet in the school, in the town, in the village of Blinn's, in the valley. Our church is on a mountaintop in the town of Nidagen. If you look over, if you could look over in that direction, you come to a couple of villages. One is Abenden, halfway down the mountain, and then all the way down at the foot of the mountain by the Ruhr River is Blinn's. And his grandfather built the house that he's living in. And he stayed there because he has a burden for those people. He went to school in that building as a kid, where we used to hold our church services in the Sunday morning. And he's so willing to drive a trash truck for Jesus. That's what he's doing. And he's a layman. And great will be his reward in heaven for his faithfulness to the Lord. And you can be there too, as a layman in this church. Ask God what he wants you to do. Ask the pastor what he would like for you to do. Pray. Ask God. Get busy. Get doing it if you aren't. And God will use it in a great way, like he's using Teo. And great will be your reward in heaven for your faithfulness to the Lord. And by the way, you can do it there too. You can come help us. We need help. I don't work with another team member. It's Jill and me and God, plus the people in the church. And we have the whole Eifel region south of us. And we lived in the village called Schmidt, which belongs to the town of Nidagen. And the next village south of us, Strauch. These people have never, ever in their entire existence heard the gospel. Can you imagine? I've walked over a mile to somebody's mailbox in our area. Can you imagine? How are those people going to hear unless we go and take the gospel to them? I thank God that he's called us. And we wouldn't trade it for any place else in the world, even Tahiti. Okay. If you have your Bibles, please come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I used to be a lifeguard. And I worked as a lifeguard at a couple of camps. And I remember one time at a camp in New York State, I was giving a swimming test. I had my assistant on the other side of the place where we were swimming. And where we were swimming, where the camper swam, is a lifeguard's nightmare. It was a big pond. It had deep water, and it was deep. And it had shallow water. And you couldn't even see the bottom in shallow water until you got right up next to shore. That is a lifeguard's nightmare. And it was big, big pond. And we had it roped off, and shallow and deep. And before anybody could go into the deep area, they had to take a swimming test with my partner Tim and on one side, and me on this side, and this little girl, bless her heart, she said, "I can swim. Okay, Let's see you do it. And so she gets out in the middle of the pond. In the middle. And she starts having trouble. And she starts trying to turn back and dog. She was doing fine until she got to the middle. And then she turned back and doing the dog paddle for all she's worth. And in I go, and I grab her, and the first thing out of her mouth is, "My watch, my watch." She was so concerned about her watch, and I was concerned about her drowning. Better a watch than her, I guess. And there, but deep water is an issue. You know, you only have a few minutes to find somebody if they're lost in the water, passed out, or drowning, or whatever. And I remember a time where my heart literally came out of my chest. We have buddy checks. And I blew the whistle and we did a buddy check. And I was looking around and there's one camper there without his buddy. And I said, "Where's your buddy?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "You don't know." Where? And I looked at the counselor. I said, "Where's your camper?" And she says, "I don't know." And I'm thinking, you know, the worst thing in my lifeguard can think of. So we cleared the pond, and Tim and I are getting ready to divide the pond up into sections as quickly as possible. First place is deep water, obviously. I mean, it's over our heads. And while we were doing this, the counselor goes down to her cabin and finds her camper. That counselor and I had a few words. And I had a few words for the camper, too. You know, deep water is serious business, isn't it? How many of you have stood on a high dive and looked down? What do you see? I worked at a camp that had an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And when we first opened that pool in the day, it was clear as crystal, that water. I mean, you could see the bottom, 12 feet deep on the bottom end. And you get on the deep end, and you get up on that high dive, and you look down, you're not looking at the top of the water. You can see all the way down to the bottom of the pool. And man, does it look high up there. And deep water. The title on the message tonight is, "Are You a Deep Water Christian?" You know, you have to have special skills to be able to swim in deep water, don't you? How many of you here can swim? Raise your hand. Good. You know, there's no parking lots in deep water, are there? When you feel like you're in trouble, or you get tired and you're in deep water, there's no place for you to go, is there? It's just you and the water and what's below you and your ability. Deep water is serious business. And deep water for the Christian is serious business. Now, I'm not talking about deep water and circumstances as such as one might think, but we will get there tonight. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for your grace. As Corrie Ten Boom's sister told her one day in that prison camp in Nazi Germany so many years ago, as they were suffering and her sister had just been beaten, and Corrie was having trouble with her anger. Her sister told her, no matter how deep the pit, God's grace is deeper still. And Father, we're thankful for that. And we ask tonight that the Holy Spirit will take your word as the sword of the Spirit as it is, that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that it would be indeed a discerner of our thoughts and the intents of our hearts tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this. Are you following along? But, matter of fact, why don't you just say it with me, okay? Let's say the reference and then let's say the verse. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by sight and not by faith. Wait a minute. Who's wrong? Are you sure? Let's do this again. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Did that other way offend your ears? It did, didn't it? Did you know every time we don't do that, it's an offense to God? Don't answer me, but do every moment of the day, do you really walk by faith? You know, God's given us common sense. There are some people out there. Is this on? Okay, good. There are some people out there who think common sense can help you along in God's will. Common sense doesn't tell you the things that God can tell you. Is that right? We don't get down and pray to common sense. Now, common sense is good. It's a good thing. In other words, for instance, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Let's see. Good judgment comes from experience. And we get a lot of that from bad judgment. Okay? You'll get that one in a minute. Also, common sense will tell you not to take down a hornet's nest with a weed eater. Right? But common sense doesn't tell you God's will for your life. Common sense doesn't tell you common sense could be your enemy when God's calling you to be a missionary. Couldn't it? Would you believe we were told? This was a suggestion to me. Don, maybe you should wait till the economy gets better before you go on deputation again. And my thought was, when is it ever going to get better? And my second thought was, this economy is not God's economy because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's just a practical application to that. But look, now, walking is more, in this verse, means more than going from point A to point B. This word walk, where we walk by faith, means everything you do between point A and point B, as you go from point A to point B. It also includes why you're leaving point A and why you're going to point B. It's your life, your motives, everything about who you are, why you are who you are, what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. That's your walk. And it's also what you leave behind as you go through life. That's your walk. And sight, where we walk by sight and not, or where we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is more than seeing. Sight sees beyond a thing or beyond a circumstance and begins to consider how that thing or circumstance is going to affect me. Okay? And it will cause me to wonder how it will affect me in the future. When we walk by sight, that's what we're doing, right? What if I had looked at the economy and said, you know, this economy does not look so good. What am I doing? I'm looking at this economy and wondering how it's going to affect me. What should I care what this economy is like anyway? As a Christian, Who owns everything anyway? Does God know where his back pocket is? He has one. Do you realize the Bible says God rewards us or gives to us not out of his riches and glory, but according to? Isn't that a blessing? Think that one through when you go home tonight. It's not out of his riches and glory, but according to his riches and glory. And many times we give back to God according to what we think we can give him and not out of his blessing to us. Now, if everybody in this church gave that way back to God, the way he gives to you, he might be able to trust you with more so that you can give it away. He doesn't give you what you have to keep. You can't keep it anyway. He's just given it to you to use. But that's an introduction to where we're going tonight. Now, let's go, please, to Luke chapter 5. All of that is by way of introduction, because now the message is simply to apply the introduction, okay? Luke chapter 5. And I'm actually working backwards in my message tonight. Isn't that different? I'm actually going to begin with the third point. And if God gives us time, we'll go to the second point. And we're not going to go to the first point tonight, okay? But chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter, by the way, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, please take notice what happens next. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now let's stop right there. You get the picture, right? These men, here is Peter and James and John and the others, and they're doing what they have been raised to do. They have been fishing. That's their business. They know their business. They probably know every knot in their net. Because there probably has been a time where they repaired that particular knot. And they've spent all night out in the Sea of Galilee, and they didn't even catch a minnow. They didn't take anything. Minnows. Not even a minnow. Would how many have been ice fishing? Okay. You know how many have the old hand crank, or that you have a gas-powered one? You know it drills a certain type of hole, right? A certain size hole. Well, these guys went out there. They've never been ice fishing before in their life. So they have their tent. They have their pail to sit on. They have their little mini rods, and they have their gas-powered auger, and they have their hole, and they're sitting there. They got everything rigged up. They got their bait. And they begin to look around. I look over here, and there's a guy fishing in a little bitty hole. Just a little bitty one. And I said, what in the world? Obviously, we don't know everything. We've got to go ask this guy what's going on. So they go over there, and he said, we have an auger, and we're new to this, and we have drilled our hole, and everybody's hole is about the same size. You only allow them so big. But you've got a little T90 hole. What in the world are you fishing for? He says, minnows. Okay. Minnows. They didn't even catch a minnow that night, those disciples. You guys, you treat me like my daughter does. Oh, Dad, that's the dumbest joke I've ever heard. Okay, now. Do you ever feel that way when you're serving God? I've served Him for a long time, and I don't see any results. Let's do this. How many of you have prayed for someone for 5 years to be saved? Raise your hand. Keep it up, okay? Keep it up. How many of you have prayed for 10 years for someone to be saved? Keep those hands up, okay? Because everybody's going to look around to see, okay? In just a moment. How many have prayed for 20 years for someone to be saved? Raise your hand. Keep it up. Even if you save all those who've prayed for 5 years, you keep your hands up too. Okay? I'm gathering hands right now. Okay? How 20 years? Raise your hand. 30 years? Pray for someone to be saved? Keep your hands up. Okay, everybody who had a hand up, put it up again. Now look around. You may put your hands down. Now, don't raise your hand on this. How many, for those of you who have prayed for so many years, are you still praying? Or have you given up? Master, we've been out all night and taken nothing. So? What? You're supposed to keep on doing it, right? That's what Jesus said. Launch out into the deep. For you who are praying years upon years upon years upon years for a friend, a family member, or a co-worker to be saved and have not even seen the shell crack yet, you know what Jesus is saying? Launch out into the deep and let your net down for a draught. Because the deep water is the only place where faith will let you go. The deep water is the only place where faith will let you keep going and keep going and not give up. Witnessing. Germany is a hard place to witness. It's like concrete. You take a handful of seeds and throw it out here on your parking lot and they start bouncing because it's so hard. There's no dirt there. But God knows where the cracks are. Tell me, what happens to concrete when a seed falls into a crack in the concrete and that seed begins to grow? What happens? Somebody tell me. It breaks up, right. And when it breaks up, it creates more space for the seed to be sown, right? And so that plant seeds itself and it continues to break up the concrete or the asphalt. And then after a while, if you don't use Roundup, you've got to go through your church budget and resurface the parking lot, right? Do you get that feeling in America when you are passing out tracts? Or you're going door to door, and how many times have you been down this street and nobody has come to the church? We've had door after door shut in our face, and oh, I'm Catholic, and you know, you've had those answers. Or at work, you continue to witness and you continue to be a light for the Lord and you hand out tracts and you see nothing. Tim Peterson and I used to canvass for hours on Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning, we would hand out several hundred tracts. And then we would go get a Turkish pizza, and Joy could tell where we had eaten for lunch as soon as we walked in the door. So much garlic was used. And we saw not one result from that canvassing. So what do? Do we give up? If the Lord tells you to keep going, what do? Well, I tell you what we said. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And did Jesus ever say to give up? Yes or no? Did he? Are you sure? Okay. The important thing for us is to sow the seed of the Word of God. And God knows where the cracks are in the concrete of people's hearts. You don't. Your job is to be faithful and follow the Master's Word and continue letting down the net. Continue fishing. I remember trying to order chocolate ice cream for my kids from an ice cream truck that drove by. And chocolate. The German word for chocolate is Schokolade. That's all you need to know in German to go there and survive, okay? Schokolade. And a German neighbor came up and heard me ordering or trying to order chocolate ice cream and heard my accent. And he started speaking to me in English. He's my neighbor. His name's Jürgen, my best friend in Germany. And Jürgen and I created a friendship with one another that has lasted through the years. And it started on his front doorstep, talking hours. I mean hours, about the gospel, about the Bible, and about God. And I began to wonder if I was going to see anything come of this. And one day, Jürgen came to me and said, Don, this morning I was out walking my dog and I placed my faith in Christ to be saved. God knew where the cracks in the heart, concrete were. And God kept telling me to keep on, don't give up. And then, as the plant grew, it broke up more concrete around him. And Jürgen's wife, Rosie, got saved. And that broke up more concrete around that family. And then his son, Zimon, got saved. And guess who led them to the Lord? Well, the plant seeded itself. Jürgen led his wife and his son to the Lord. That's the way it should go. Faith's harvest is only found in the deep water when God calls you there. And don't use the excuse, I give up, God. I don't care. I just give up. I'm tired of this. I don't see any fruit. I've done this for years and years and years and hours. I've gone through 10 pairs of tennis shoes. And when God says, go out in the deep water and launch your net down for a draught, then faith takes over, doesn't it? What about giving? Many churches are struggling today because the people think their security is in their paycheck and not in God. And they're walking by sight and not by faith. And then, when they have a missionary who the church wants to support, the funds are not there, and God says, but I want you as a church to support that missionary. But God, the funds aren't there. And God says, do it anyway. Launch out into the deep. Because that's the only place where faith's harvest can be caught up into the net. What about just simple daily living? Have you, when our co-worker Joy Peterson went home to be with the Lord during our first term. And Tim went back to the States with his son, Aaron. He left us with the church. And I had to stop language school, and I only had about 30% of the language. How do you lead a church and preach with only 30% of the language? I could not even put a German sentence together and get the syntax right. Please throw to me down the stairs my jacket. That's the syntax of a German sentence. We don't think that way. How goes it, you? Oh, it goes me good. Yesterday it went me better. You know, we don't think that way in English, okay? I said, Lord, I'm willing to give you my 5 loaves and 2 fishes of ability here in the German language, but I don't even have the basket to carry it in. Please help. And God never said leave. He said stay. And I'm in the deep water. And I'm treading. And I'm running out of steam. And then along comes another missionary who says, Don, I write my messages out, word for word, in German. Would you like to have them? I said, yes, I would. So he comes down from Hamburg. His name is Ray Virtue. You know him? And Ray fixed up my computer so that I can print out his messages. And he sends them to me on a floppy. Remember what a floppy is? And his messages became my language school. And I took a whole week of books, verb books, dictionaries, a German Bible, an English Bible, books. And I took a whole week to translate his message from German into English just so I knew what he was saying. And then on Sunday, I read the message to the church. And that became my language school. And over time, I got to the place where I could read through his message and sometimes not even need to translate a word anymore. And if I did need to translate, it was at the most 1 or 2. And God grew me. Faith's harvest can only be found in the deep water. Shallow water is easy. It doesn't take faith to live in shallow water. It doesn't take the ability that a Christian mature in the faith has to have in the deep water. Shallow water is easy. I mean, you can even get out of the water if you have to because it's shallow. There's no place to go in the deep water except to reap harvest, faith's harvest. Now, question. Are you a deep water Christian? Or are you content to stay in the shallow water where there is no harvest? Where there is only defeat, where there is only giving up, where there is only, I've done this, I don't feel like following you, Lord, into the deep water attitude. Are you willing to go into the deep water if God calls you there? What if God calls you to be a missionary in this economy? And you say, but God, I can't. The economy's not there. Churches are struggling. Now it's taken missionaries sometimes 5 years to raise their support. And God says, launch out into the deep anyway. And you don't. Well, if you don't, then you don't reap faith's harvest. But if you do, you get to see God do some amazing things like He did for us. When we returned to active status, I had been a law enforcement officer in the Greenville hospital system. We returned to active status as missionaries on October 11th, 10th, over a year ago. But we still had, Jill was a preschool teacher, and she had her contract to finish. And so I kept my job. That was a Monday night where we returned to active status. Tuesday, I go to work, and I have a letter from my captain. He's never written me a letter before. It's always been face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, and almost always pleasant. But this letter said, "Don, I regret to have to tell you, but we're going to have to reduce your pay." I had lieutenant's pay, and I wasn't a lieutenant anymore. And they had been audited. And so the auditor said, "You've got," and I wasn't the only one in that situation. Everyone whose pay did not match their rank had to be dropped down to what their rank was. And I was leaving. I wasn't a lieutenant anymore. And so in that letter, I lost $273.60 a month in pay. That's a lot of money. Before we were here, and now we're here. You know, in the water, when you're here, you go down to the bottom and you push up and you get a breath and you tread water. Well, I said, "God?" Anybody get upset at God? Don't look at me like, "No, we don't." Yes, you do. I said, "God, what are you doing? Is this how you treat a missionary? Is this how you treat somebody who's been faithful over, do you know how many missionaries go on a leave of absence and don't go back to the field?" And God said, "Don, just like my captain used to tell me, Don, take a deep breath, relax, it'll be okay." And we were leaving for the annual meeting, which happened to be up here at this church. On Friday, we were leaving. We were going to bring April up to Grandma and Grandpa's in South Bend, Indiana. We were going to leave her there, and we were going to go to church with them Sunday night and come here Monday to the annual meeting. The 50th anniversary, remember that? Well, what you didn't know was what was taking place with us. And so we went to visit my parents in Greenville, South Carolina, on Thursday before we left. We hadn't been there very long, and Dad gave me a check for $150. Said, "This is our support for you beginning now." Wow, that's great. Thank you, Dad. So we get up to South Bend and we go to a church with Jill's parents who were changing churches. We've never been in this church. We drive by it every time we go up to their house and every time we go home. I've never stepped foot in it. I don't even know the pastor. If you pointed him to me out in the crowd, I only knew his name. His name is Vito Rulli. And we go to the church that night. But Pastor Rulli knows us because they prayed for us. "Do you know Vito Rulli? Then you know what's going to happen, maybe, if you know Pastor Rulli." He said, "Don, would you give an account to the church of what's going on with you in your life?" Because they had never seen me well. But they had prayed for me. So I'm up here in the church. Now, I'm not recommending that you do this, Pastor, okay? I'm just relating to you what happened to me. And so Pastor Rulli is sitting there, and I'm standing here, and I'm telling the church that we have been reactivated as missionaries, and we're going back to Germany, and up he pops. And Pastor Rulli says, "Is there any reason why we can't support these people as our missionaries to Germany? How about $100 a month?" "Oh, no, $125. Okay, deacons, all in favor? Deacons? Deacons? Okay. Church vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. All opposed?" What are the people supposed to do? It was 100% yays. And we had $125 support that night. You remember Monday? That letter, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, $150, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, $125, 6 days from that letter, God gave us back what I lost in my pay plus $1.40 more, $275. And it has been that way ever since. We were in a church in February last year, gave us a love offering for a missions conference. Every missionary there got a love offering of over $5,000. And we were wondering how we were going to pay rent if we go on deputation. I mean, you know, I only have 1 weekend off a month, the law enforcement officer. That job and deputation do not go hand in hand, so it was either or. And so I was going to pick the or, but I wasn't sure how to do it. Until God gave us a love offering check for over $5,000 in February. And Jill and I looked at each other and said the same word, rent. And our daughter saw God do this. Don't forget the ancillary testimonies to all of this. There are people watching. And we started deputation full time on June 8th. And from June to the end of December, that love offering paid our rent and our utilities. And then it was up at the end of December. But by that time, God had brought in enough support to take over. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And they walked by faith and not by sight. And when they had this done, read the rest of it with me in unison, shall we? They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. You know what the word, the phrase, and the net brake makes me think of? You know what verse? And he shall give you, pressed down, shaken, and running over. Folks, that's faith's harvest. And when God calls you out in what looks to you like deep water, and you don't think you can do it, the circumstances will always tell you that you can't. Right? But your faith is always affected by what you are looking at. Or maybe I should say who you're looking at. Go. If he's calling you in the deep water, go. Simply go. And you will have faith's harvest in his time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for it.